For those of you who do not know this book, it is Love Poems from God. These are 12 wonderful writers who come from all different disciplines and throughout the ages. And all of them are mystics, and I am a mystic. And I would like to read three of them this evening in preparation for what we're going to be speaking about. This is by Rabia. In my soul, there's a temple, a shrine, a mosque, a church where I kneel. Prayer should bring us to an altar where no walls or names exist. Is there not a region of love where the sovereignty is illumined nothing? Where ecstasy gets poured into itself and becomes lost? Where the wing is fully alive but has no mind or body? In my soul, there's a temple, a shrine, a mosque, a church that dissolve in God. This is Meister Eckhart. Everything I see, hear, touch, feel, taste, speak, think, imagine, is completing a perfect circle God has drawn. And this is Hafez. Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing. Just rest. For your separation from God is the hardest work in this world. Let me bring you trays of food and something that you like to drink. You can use my soft words as a cushion for your head. And it is true that most of humanity is experiencing separation, not only from the divine which they are, but also the truth of how they can live their lives being one with all that is. And those of you who are new this evening, we have a few new people, I'll introduce myself so you have some idea of what's going to be happening this evening. Okay, my name is Mary. At the age of 6, I had a mystical experience which brought me into union and communion with the divine. As a result of that experience, I have the voice within, and I've continued to have mystical experiences throughout my life. And I've been teaching and working in this energy for almost 40 years. And some years ago, a woman came up to me after I'd spoken, and she said to me, "You're self-realized, aren't you?" And I had never, that never occurred to me. I just do what I do. And I said, "Yes, I am. I've never had an earth plane teacher. I've never had a guru. I've never had any of those things. What I have had, and some of you know this in the speaking that I've done, is that all my teachers have been on the inner planes of divine consciousness. And Jesus was the first in my first mystical experience, and he has continued to be one of my teachers. The Buddha, who asked me to work with him for several years intensively, which I did. I've also had Kuan Yin and that lovely, wonderful energy that she carries. And then the Marys, I call them, Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and the Marys who have been reincarnating generation after generation after generation. So being quote-unquote self-realized, I have not necessarily been influenced by that which is occurring in many of the lines of energy which are coming in and have been coming into the earth plane over millennium, since the first man or woman knew that there was something more than themselves that was happening on the earth plane. So as a result of that, what I'm speaking from is from my own experience and from the divine which I am. And I began these lectures, can you believe it or not, this is the 32nd one that I've done. For those of you who've been here for the 32. And the energy that is moving through all of us at this time is for greater clarity, for greater love, for greater realization about how we are in the world and what is our service. And the divine has been very clear with me that service is not about doing. Service is about being. And it is through your being that you ultimately serve on all planes of reality, both form and formless. Many people believe that by doing their service, it's very fulfilling for them, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. But the truth is that behind the doing is the nature of our being. And the nature of our being is that divine consciousness. So if you are guided to serve, and it comes from your being, from that wellspring of love that you wish to share with others, however that may be, then the being in and of itself is totally sufficient. And if doing arises from the being, that is, from the innermost energies of love and consciousness within you, you are drawn to a service, a particular way of moving energy. And it can be in any way, I mean, there are a million ways that we can serve, but we come to that service from our being, not from our doing. Many people in this embodiment right now, their doing manifests more doing. And then they have to do a little bit more because that doing wasn't quite enough, and so let's do some more. Does anybody know that pattern? I grew up with that pattern. My family said, you can't just stop doing now. There's so much more to do. Let's get doing it. Come on, let's do it. And all we children, there are four of us, we're all consummate doers. You give me something to do, I know how to do it. And even if I don't know how to do it, I'll figure it out pretty quickly, because the doing was what we had mastered. The being of who we are, that was a whole other journey for me, because I came into my being at the age of 6, and then how to bring that being forward. And of course, I chose my family so that they would teach me to do very well. And Jesus said, and while that's going on, you and I will be unfolding the being of who you are. And so I acknowledge that as we move through our world, you all could look at your being, and then you could look at your doing. And you could look at where they intertwine and where they're quite separate, where you just do, and then over here it's like, not much. And being is like the water swelling, you know? When you see the swells, and then you see the waves, and you see the energy. Any body, large body of water, for me, is like the presence of the divine made manifest. All you have to do is look at a large body of water, and you can become one with the being immediately. So to intertwine those is quite a state of mastery. And most of us come together so that we can experience the being that we are, and then go through a period of integration, and then see what happens if our being and our doing have begun to intertwine and no longer are separate, okay? And someone within the group had said, you know, I'm having a little trouble at my job. And one of the teachings that came through was the great quality of smile, you know? If we smile, it changes the energy just like that. And this individual came the next week and said, I smiled, changed the energy, smiled. Now, the smiling comes from our being. Our smiling does not come from our doing. And if we allow that energy of being to flow through our lives, the most incredible things start to happen, which we could never have imagined, and that's what makes it so beautiful. I love the unknown. I live in the unknown. And what I know only comes from the unknown into that which is known. So as we move our energies through our lives, and if we look back and we see those moments that were fully joyful in our lives, the being had to be there for the joy to be there. Because what is joy? Joy is the feeling aspect of love. So the love that we have the joy will bubble up. It will be so irresistible. I mean, I can't say I'm not going to be joyful today. I cannot do that. It's not possible. I get up in the morning, my eyes open, I go, another day! Wow! You know? And the days are filled with whatever they're filled with. And the doing is whatever the doing is. But the being is that which sustains my doing. And if it is not in alignment, then I cannot do it. I can't say, I'm going to make myself do this. I have to say, no, that's actually not appropriate. Only when that alignment is there. And I can feel when it's there. And I'm assuming that many of you can too. That when you're in alignment with your being and what you're doing, it's effortless. It's fulfilling. No matter how long the task takes, it doesn't make any difference. Time means nothing. I mean, in my world, time continually just, you know, morphs. Sometimes it's like a moment, and it's been 2 hours that I've been doing whatever I've been doing. And sometimes it'll be something that I will do for only a moment, and I'll think, can this moment just be over? I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room who feels that way. So we begin to realize that as we move in our being, the doing becomes very, very exquisite, no matter what it is. When I went to New York and I was going to, I wanted to dance with the Alan Nicolai Dance Theater Company. And I went in, you know, walked into the little office, and there's a woman there, her name was Betty. And I said, Betty, I want to dance with Alan Nicolai. She said, oh, you do? I mean, I was so naive, darlings. yes, I do. And she said, well, you know what we need is someone to clean our toilets. I said, I'll do that. She said, you have potential. So I started cleaning the toilets, you know, every day, twice a day, made that happen, 7 days a week. And Nick, his philosophy was that you would, no matter how great a dancer you were, no matter how many companies you danced with, you always had to start as a beginner. And the ego of many dancers is quite huge. and many of them would come and they'd say, I'm going to dance with Nicolai. And Nick would say, well, you start in the beginning class over there. And they'd go, but I am the dancer, blah, 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 blah. And he would say, we start right over there. So I said, hey, if that's the deal, I'm doing it. Man, I went into that beginning class. I just gave it all I could. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, Nick says, and I thought, ooh, I haven't done it good enough. And he said, Monday you start in the intermediate class. I said, oh, how interesting. Scrub my toilets, go to class. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Nick goes, he said, next week, the advanced class. I said, thank you. Scrub my toilets, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Nick says, and he says, you really want to dance, don't you? I said, I will do whatever it takes. Now, the divine came to me and said, will you do whatever it takes? And since I had already been very well trained in doing whatever it takes, I said, yes. Do you have any toilets you want me to scrub? And the divine said, the only thing you need to scrub is all the residue of anything within you that is less than love. That's your job. To clean all of that residue out so that it's no longer there. That's your job. And I said, I will do that job. And as a result of clearing those energies, many of them which I had been imprinted with in my childhood, I came to the realization that I needed that clarity in order to be able to go from the beginning to the intermediate to the advanced and then finally into the company. And now I am in the company of the divine. And many of you have had experiences in your life which has allowed you to move energetically and to raise your vibration and expand your consciousness and be fully present with whatever's going on. It doesn't make any difference to me what it looks like. I've given up what it looks like, and I say, whatever it is, let me be there. Let my being be present so that I can experience it fully, no matter what it is. And sometimes it has not been the most pleasant. It hasn't been the thing that I would say, boy, you know, I've really been living to have this experience. No, but it was the one that was given to me so that I could raise my vibration while in that experience, expand my consciousness while in that experience, and come to know that I was to love that experience. And as soon as I shifted from, I don't know if I want to do this, to I am here to embrace this experience, then the vibration changed completely. And what happened for me was the willingness to say, I'm ready now for whatever comes next. I don't ask that it look like anything. I say, I know it will come unto me perfectly. I do not believe that we go into life this way. I believe that life comes unto us this way. It comes unto us, and we are present with that which comes unto us. The ego always wants what it wants, and it wants to be in control of what's unfolding, yes? So it's always going out to control the next thing, to be sure that it's going to be just the way it wants it to be, yes? I mean, I know that one really well. I said, yeah, I'm going to go out there, and I'm just going to do-da-do, you know, and then it'll be just the way I want it, and sure, then I'll do it. But I had to completely reverse that level of consciousness and say, it will come unto me, and I will embrace it regardless of what it might look like out there. What's important is what's happening right in here. This is what I have to pay attention to. And if I'm out of alignment, then I want to bring myself back into alignment so that I can be fully present with whatever this is that's unfolding. And it's moment to moment to moment. And if we allow our attention to waver, often that precious moment does not arrive because we were not attentive. We became distracted by something else. Or our ego said, oh, I just really want to look like this over here. So don't think about that. Look right over here and let's work on that. So to remain in that place of being clear about how we're moving forward in our lives. And if I look at my life and all the adventures I've had, both as a dancer and choreographer and all the other things I've done in my life, people say, you know, I have a little address book, and the only address is yours in every place you've ever lived. I fill up people's address books because I've lived, I mean, my experiences have taken me all over the world. And yet there's only been one thing that's really been going on. Now, the address book doesn't show that, but the inner shows that just one thing has been going on through this entire embodiment. And now we're all sitting in this room and we're really doing just one thing, and that's being. We're being in this room, fully being here. Now, people can say, I didn't get a word she was talking about. She just talked and I didn't get any of it. That's perfectly all right, dears. I am not talking to your brains. No, 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 no. Who am I talking to? Your souls. Your soul and my soul, we're all having a wonderful time this evening. And we're all laughing and giggling and tapping our feet. Now, why would I bother to speak? Because I'm engaging the left side of your brain, which is where your ego conscious mind is. And while you're listening, even if you don't want to hear, that's fine. I'll just keep chatting. And then the right side of your brain is going vroom, because the download of energy that's happening while we're sitting in this room is amazing. Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times, which means exponentially, we're already into the infinite. Now that's just sitting here, folks. Just sitting here. Now we could be quiet, but hey, we'll be quiet at the end of the time. We're not going to be quiet now. So to open ourselves to the possibilities of how the divine wishes not only to move through us, but to bring unto us that which will be for not only our highest good, but will also allow for the raising of our vibration and the expansion of our consciousness. That means that in our hearts right now, every molecule, every atom that makes our heart chakra and our heart vibrate, there's a vibration going on there. Not because of what I say, but because everybody in this room, your hearts are going like this. Else you wouldn't be in the room. You'd be home doing something else or whatever. But your presence here, the actual act of getting in your car, coming here, walking up those stairs, walking in this room and sitting down in the chair, that's your path. The preparation for whatever it is that you've come here to receive. And you will receive exactly that. Exactly that. And even if you don't know what it is, you don't have to worry. The soul which you are already knows exactly what's going to happen here. It already had a preview. Because I work the energy from the time we leave here on a Monday night until we arrive here again. And as I'm working that energy, I'm working with every single soul who's ever come into this room. So all of your souls, absolutely, have all been here. Here. In the presence of the divine all week long. And there has been no, I think I need to go get a drink of water, or you know, none of that's been happening. It's just that flow of the divine. That's how it works. Now, you may go from this room, and we may never see each other again, but you will never be out of my consciousness. It is not possible. Never. And you are in my consciousness before you came in this room. And before I embodied, we all had a soul agreement. We said, you know what? If we could just find a room with a couple of chairs, we're all going to show up. And they said, so would you just get the room, Mary? Just get everything fixed up, and we'll drive over here, and we'll sit in the chair, and everything will be fine. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. You all going to be showing up? I said, yeah, for sure we're going to be showing up. Okay, here we are. 31 times, a lot of you all have been showing up. So, understand, just because it looks like this in this room is not what's really going on. And you have to understand that the much larger picture of what's going on is all that energy prior to our coming into the body and how heaven and earth, quite literally, have moved and shaped our realities so that we could come into this room. Now, is that far out? That's far out. Now, any place you go where there is love, be assured that your soul is fully present before you even get there. Your soul is not some teeny, weeny little thing, folks. No. Your soul is the divine. Your soul is all that is. There's no limit to what your soul actually is. It is infinite, extraordinary. And what it does is creates a vibratory consciousness that comes down through and into us. And it lives and has its being within us and as us and through us. And the cells of our body are all vibrating to that extraordinary energy, which is the soul. Now, because the soul is divine, it will connect all of us to whatever is divine in our worlds. And that can be the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the earth, this carpet. It can be the chair we're sitting on. Anything and everything has been created so that we can all show up. Now, everybody in this room shows up in one way or another in their lives. You do. You show up for the things you really love, yeah? And then sometimes you have to show up for the things that, you know, they're not all that great, but you show up anyway. You say, yes, I'm going to show up. And who shows up? Your soul goes before you always. And you enter into whatever the experience is already there. Your soul is already there, dears. And you simply bring the physical into that moment, whatever it happens to be. And when people say, we talked about this last week a little bit, you know, it's serendipity, or it was just a chance, or, you know, that could never happen again. And I mean, I laugh. I say, my, how wonderful. The ego does not want to hear what I am saying. The ego says, wait a minute, I've got to have control here in some way or other. That's one of its great functions, is to be in control. And in truth, there is no such thing. is just a myth. But everybody believes it, and so we all get together, as we believe that the Earth is solid. We all get together and say, Earth is solid. You gotta be kidding me, folks. A friend of mine said years ago, if everybody on the planet said, the Rocky Mountains do not exist, they'd be gone. Remember, this is all illusion, my darlings. This is all illusion. This looks so real, feels so real, tastes so real. I had birthday cake yesterday. Oh, it was wonderful. It wasn't my birthday, somebody else's birthday. I honor that we get so seduced here that we forget what we're really doing here. This is very seductive. And that's why we come again and again and again, because we get very seduced. I love to be seduced. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I love everything about being a woman. I'm so glad I'm a woman this time. And I'm sure all the men say, geez, I'm having a really good time being a man this time. All right. But it's very seductive. Everything is here to seduce you to go to sleep. So to keep waking up, you have to say, I'm gonna wake up. And I was so thrilled the first time I was on the road. I was very young, dancing. And I could call down the front desk and they'd give me a wake-up call. And I was thrilled. I said, my God, a wake-up call. And sure enough, you know, it's 6:30. The telephone rings and this lovely voice says, it's 6:30. Time to get up. And I thought, far out. Now, your soul is doing that every single moment. It is giving you a wake-up call every day, all the time, going, are you getting this? Wake up, wake up, wake up. And as soon as we begin to go, I think I'm going to go, no. Think about what seduces you. Everybody has their own special seductions, don't they? Okay. If you're not nodding your head up and down, you're not telling the truth. Everybody nods your head up and down. We all have our seductions, and they're wonderful, and they're great teachers, are they not? I mean, once you get seduced and you see it's not the real deal, you say, oh, man, I got to wake up. This is not it. This is not it. So when it's it, yes, there's still seduction going on, but you're awake while it's happening, right? I mean, a dear friend of mine, she used to say, you know, spirit is so seductive that sometimes we allow the seduction to be the thing that we're going after rather than what is really going on, which is how we may be one with all that is, how we may be impeccable in every single moment. And in that impeccability, there comes realizations about how we can stay more wide awake in every moment. Now, because I love to be seduced, I mean, I'm a quadruple Scorpio. You know what we love? Seduction. Give it to me. Any form, any way, anyhow, just give it to me. And I'm married to a guy who's a Scorpio, so we just have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Yeah. So we know the joy of not only the exterior seduction, but the interior releasing and letting go so that spirit can gently, exquisitely begin to move through us and give us awarenesses that we would not have unless we were willing to surrender and allow it to come forth within us. If you say, I only want spirit between 9:05 and 10:20 when I am either meditating or praying, and after that I'm just out of here and I'm watching the clock. I mean, I got my buzzer set, right? That's fine. If that's all that you can manage in this embodiment, I say to people, go for it. Just have that 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. Fine. That may be all you can handle in this embodiment. It may just be that. Then there are others who say, I want to not only have my practice that I do every day, but I want to come into silence throughout the day where I quiet the ego conscious mind. I quiet all those energies, and even if it's just for an in-breath and an out-breath, just having that moment of silence is so exquisite. And in that moment, the soul can gently be whatever it is that it will be for you in that moment. And the divine which you are will move you through the day in a very different way if you have those moments. And for all of us, I mean, we live in paradise here. This is absolutely the most incredible place in the whole wide world, and I've lived in a lot of places in this embodiment. And when I got here, I said, I'm not leaving. Here it is. This is the deal. And I honor that the physical bodies that we have, that are all sitting in this room, they're the bodies that you asked for so that you would get the greatest potential in this body to grow and become fully realized in the divine which you are. These are the bodies that we have chosen to do that. So to love our bodies and honor our bodies and say, so this is the sacred vessel right here. This physical body is a sacred vessel in which the divine resides. So knowing that this is so, how can we not walk upon the earth plane and know every moment is sacred? Because this is the sacred vessel. This is where it all happens, right here. And if we have beauty around us, that will assist us, will it not? If we allow the light, the sun, the moon, the breeze, the air, all of it, to be part of this extraordinary experience we're having while we're in the embodiment. And this physical body is so magnificent. It is exquisite, absolutely exquisite. And you may not choose to see your body that way. You may say, your ego is saying, I don't know. If I could just change this, or I could just change that, or blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's fine. Do whatever you need to do. But don't forget, it's the sacred vessel. It's the sacred vessel. And once you realize that, then you don't carry it around. You move in the divine with it. And the divine moves through you in this vessel. And there is not one thought, particularly from the right side of your brain, that will not guide you perfectly if you choose for that to be so. We make choices every moment about how we're going to be in this sacred consciousness, in this sacred vessel, upon this sacred earth, in this sacred time. There's like none other. And it is every single moment that is sacred. Every moment. And many people are speaking now about being in the now, and those of you who have read The Course in Miracles, it's called the holy instant, that energy of the now. And most people live in the past and live in the future because that's where the ego resides. It's never present. It doesn't want to be present. And the storyteller is always telling you the story of what was in the past and what is to come. All your hopes, all your fears, all your wants, all your needs, everything. The storyteller is continually telling the story. And only when you're fully present in the present can you know what that holy instant is and how that holy instant is going to be who you are in the next moment. Right? If I'm in the holy instant now, in the next moment, what will it be? It will be the holy instant repeating itself again and again and again. Because I will be creating myself again and again and again, moment to moment to moment to moment. I talked to you all about how my experience of going from form to formlessness, form to formlessness, form to formlessness. I'm walking down the road and I look down and I'm gone and I'm back and I'm gone and I'm back and I'm gone and I'm back and I went far out. But this is what's happening to all of us here. We are appearing and disappearing, but it is so quick that unless you pay attention, you will not know that. Now, why in the world would that be? Why in the world would you go from form to formlessness in this embodiment? Because in the moment of the formless, the divine will then bring you another moment to be in form, and then to return to the formless, and then to be in form. And we get so used to wanting the form that we just go, oh, form, 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 form. I love to be in the formless. I love it. And I'm in the formless, most of the time. I appear to be in form. Everybody here appears to be in form. You all look pretty formed up to me. Okay, we're all in form, okay? But what's really going on, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are also being formless. Right here. Now that's pretty wonderful. Have you ever experienced in a meditation where you really couldn't feel your arms or your legs or your head or anything? I mean, you just went into the formless. I hope everyone, if you haven't, practice and have this experience. It will change your life. And you'll realize that this being has this extraordinary capacity to take you into the formless and then to bring you back into form. I have experiences where I can't feel anything. I'm just completely formless. And then I come back into form and I can feel myself congealing, coming back into spatial consciousness in form. Now, to know that experience is to allow ourselves to continually expand our consciousness. Because consciousness is going to expand to the extent that you choose it to expand. Last week, we went around Mother Earth. Then we went from the Earth to the Moon. Then we went out into the great at-one-ment of all creation. And then we said, okay, that was cool. And we're going to hold that and come right back into this room and sit here. Now, we are time travelers. We are space travelers. There is no place that we cannot go and be one with whatever it is. It just appears that we are limited in some way. But if you truly experience the expansion of who you really are, you will realize that the entire universe is celebrating right now. I'm going to wiggle my finger. Guess what's happening? This vibration has already affected all that is creation. That's what happens every breath we take, every blink of our eye, every movement. Right now you might be digesting an early dinner, okay? I mean, everything's working in there. I do not even have to think about it. My next breath, fine, I never have to think about it. I don't have to think about my heart beating. Don't have to think about my liver working. I don't have to think about any of that. Because that's not my job in this embodiment. My sacred vessel is taking care of everything so that I can, and all of you, if you choose, can begin to go into the other realms of consciousness, which are available to us all the time. All the time. Now, the journey to get there is one of letting go. We hold so tightly, do we not? We hold so tightly to everything that we believe is true. And if we let go of that and simply relax into who we really are, then the expansion of who we are grows immensely. Immensely. So every time I feel like something is going inside me like this, I go, wait. No, we really want this. We really want this. We really want this. The ever-expanding consciousness. Now, as you move and have your world unfold, and everybody's world is unfolding exactly and precisely as you said in your soul agreements, I want to look like this, and this, and this, and this, and so it is. And you are looking at your life now as a series of soul agreements that you have made, and you may change them at any time. But to change them means that you have to change within first before it will change out there. And the change within comes as we grow in our consciousness and can experience who we really are in here. And then it's out there. Many people rush to have it out there. It doesn't really work, not in the long run. If you're clear here, you will be clear out there. And if you're holding this within, then you will experience it out there. And if the path is clear there, then the path within is clear in here. And if your heart is open, then you will experience the open heart out here. And it may not be in any form that you ever expected. If you say, I want it to look like blah, 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 chances are it's not going to happen. But I love the unexpected. So therefore, I open to whatever is coming. I do not say it's got to look like this or that or da, 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 da. Mm-mm, no. I just know that in divine order, the exact energies that I'm to experience will come unto me. And I do not ask the form of it. I do not ask that it has to look like this or that or the other. I say, I am open to receive whatever is unfolding, and I will step into it with grace and love and consciousness, whatever it is. Yesterday I got a phone call that my sister was in the hospital. She lives on the East Coast. And I was taken aback. And her former husband, she'd called her former husband, and she said, I think I'm in trouble. I need to get to the hospital. So he took her to the hospital, and because it was Mother's Day, they got in easily and got her in the room. And she had been with some friends, and one of the women was very ill the whole time they were together for 3 days, and they were all, you know, good friends. And my sister got whatever the bug was, but it just dropped her right down. And she was tremendously dehydrated, and all these other things were happening. So I spoke with her today, and she's doing beautifully, and she hopes to be out of the hospital by tomorrow. When the phone call came, and you see, I was calling her to wish her a happy Mother's Day, because she has two wonderful children. And if I had not made the call, then I wouldn't have known, because they were already getting the ambulance to take her to the hospital. But as the divine would have it, I got inside me, as I normally do, the divine said, call your sister right now. And without hesitation, I go to the phone, and I don't wait a second. I mean, when I'm told that's what to do, I do. And that's when I got the message, and the whole thing unfolded in the way that it did. When we listen to the voice within, we will know, almost moment to moment in our lives, exactly what we need to be, where we need to be, what we need to be doing, and how we are to be present in any given moment. But most of us don't pay attention in that way, so that we can fully hear the divine speaking. And you say, well, what does that voice sound like? You. But it's you from a whole other plane of consciousness speaking. It is a way of what I call it is the union and communion with the divine. I am in alignment with that energy that the divine brings through me. So when I'm told, call now, I do. When I'm told, this is happening over there, put your attention on it. I'm told, open your heart and bring these people in because this and this and this is happening. And I do not question that this is so. But it is so because I hear that it is so. And it takes practice to discern what is the voice of your ego and what is the voice of your soul, that divine energy which is within you. But as you practice, you will find that that level of communication, that communion that you have with the divine, will grow and become stronger and deeper. I don't go anywhere or do anything. I ask. I don't use my will to make things happen. I say, is it appropriate for me to do? I'll hear, please begin this, whatever it happens to be with an individual. I do. Whatever is coming through me, I am listening to it. And every single person in this room knows that voice of which I speak. All of you have that voice. Now, whether or not you allow it to be heard is quite another thing. And it is a practice to hear the voice within and then to respond to it as it is given to you, not how you would wish it to look, or saying, I'll get to it. No, 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 no. Right then, that's the deal. Because then you're in alignment with how the voice within is speaking to you and through you. Now, for many individuals, as we come into alignment, everything in our life begins to change in a very extraordinary way. Friends of mine have said to me, as I have begun to be on the path and do this inner work and listen to the divine within, many of my friends fall away. And I say, yes, this will happen. Your friends and even your family may fall away. And new friends will come, and a new family will come. And to trust that. Now, most people don't talk about that part, but it is true. And I say to my friends that will not be in my life, I say to them, I will never stop loving you, but this which I follow, I must follow. And you are exactly where you need to be, and I honor that. And it is not that we will not see each other again. We will, in this embodiment. We may even spend time together. But what I'm really about is the unfoldment of this consciousness. And so that is the path that I'm going to follow. And there will be many who will come and be with you. You will never be alone. And a new family will always be created as you go through the steps that you take, wherever those steps may take you. And at first it's very scary, because you think, where are my family? You know, where are my friends? Where are the people who were around me when I first looked up and saw there was more? Much more. And I said, I have to begin the journey. And wherever it takes me, I will go there. And I will not stop. And I will put one foot in front of the other. And I have shared with you the vision that the divine gave me, where I was in this great huge desert. And I was standing there naked. And the divine said, this is life, the illusion. It is nothing but a desert. There is nothing that is real here at all. It's all illusion. And I said, how shall I move from this place? Am I to stand here? And the divine said, I will literally pick up your foot and place it where it needs to be. And I said, I will trust this, and I will stand here until my foot has been moved and I am in the next place of where I am to be, in this illusion, in this great desert where nothing really exists. I know the voice within, and I trust it completely. And if it were to say to me, this is what you have to do, then that is what I will do. And I do not for a moment question it, because I know the truth of it. And I've been practicing for a lot of years, you know? A lot of years. 70 years, folks. 70 big ones. And I've never had a facelift. This is the real face, ladies. The real face, right here. Okay.
In case you were wondering.
Yeah, in case people are asking, because they go, my God, how many facelifts has she had? No, not a one. This is it, the real deal. This is my real neck. Thank you. A dancer's neck, what can I tell you? Okay. I like to bring a little humor in here while we're talking. Okay. So, with that realization, y'all are so cute. With that realization, you understand, at least I did, that whatever was going to unfold, I would be one with it. And I do not question it. I simply accept what it is, because that is what I said before I came into the body, that I wanted my life to be thusly. I wanted it to be in alignment with the divine which I am, moment to moment to moment. And I taught this in the Summerlin House. Here's your alignment. If you're out of alignment, exponentially, if you follow that out, you've already gone way far away. So if you're in alignment and you go out of alignment, the moment you're aware that you're out of alignment, you got to bring it back. Because if you don't, the longer you wait, the further out it goes. And as it gets further and further out, it is very hard, and it takes a tremendous amount of energy to bring it back into alignment. And every day, if you really are present, you're going to see yourself, because the ego is going to want to do what? Right? It knows exactly how to do that. Okay. So the first time you get that, you're going to go. But you know, that's part of the seduction too. You see, this is the other part of the seduction. Spiritual seduction and egoic seduction. So you have, and you go, oh boy, that feels kind of interesting and good. Maybe I think I'll just follow that a little further along. a little further along, you know, and eventually, often for many people, it takes years, maybe lifetimes, to come back. If we're here in this room, our practices, and these are part of our humanity. This is how we do it, you know? I mean, I go off, and then the divine says, "You're a little off over there, girl." And I say, okay. So as you go through your life this week, y'all just watch for a few little and see what happens, okay? Maybe a couple of those have happened today. I don't know, all right? But see what they are. Be conscious of when you're out of alignment and when you're in alignment. And then, once you come back in alignment, ask the question, what drew me out of my alignment? What was it that was so seductive that it drew me out of my alignment? That's what we want to learn from. And then, the next time, and it will come again, usually three times, the divine said, that little old seduction thing, you know? Okay. And here it comes again. And you can see it coming from a distance. And you go, oh, I just really had a good time last time. I think maybe I'm going to do this again. I don't know. All right. And you go, right on, Mary. Okay. So you're continually aware of how you are in the consciousness that you carry. By having that awareness continually unfolding, not only coming toward you and within you, but as you are present in each of the holy instances of your life. Yes? How many people might get irritated when someone cuts you off in the freeway, you know? Mm-hmm. Big truck. I'm glad we have one honest person here, me and you, that's it. Oh, three honest people, okay. I mean, I know how I feel about that. And then the divine said, this actually is not a very loving thing to think those thoughts about that driver. I said, you're absolutely right. Okay, so the divine said, now, next time a truck, car does that, you get to bless and acknowledge the driver of that car. They'd be having a hard day. Or maybe something really horrific happened to them, and their anger is in that car. And their anger is driving that car. They're not driving that car, their anger is. Or their depression, or whatever it is. Right? Energy is flowing through that person and causing that erratic energy. And it happens right in front of you. Now, if everything is in divine order, why would that car be jump right in front of me?
So that you get to practice.
Thank you. I get to practice. There are many cars on the freeway, and it's my car, my little red bug, who's so innocent and jolly and sweet and charming. And here it comes.
Not to mention bright.
Excuse me?
Not to mention bright.
Yeah, and bright also, indeed. So I honor that every single thing that happens in our lives, every single thing, is in divine order, and we are there to be able to bring our consciousness to it. And our consciousness is about love. Only love. And if we are willing to allow that energy to move through us, no matter what it looks like out there, the divine said, no matter what it looks like, show up and be lovingly present. No matter what it looks like, show up and be lovingly present. Now, the showing up is the first part. Sometimes it's really hard to show up, but we said we would show up. And then we would be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside ourselves. Okay? I will be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside myself. Now that's a huge teaching. And when that teaching came through, I said, boy, I have got to get lined up here to be able to practice this. Because it means that the divine is going to give me ample opportunities to practice. Ample. And I want to be sure that I am ready when that happens. Now, I'm blessed that often I can see it coming. I've learned how to do that. And it may just, you know, come and hit me right upside the head, as they say in the South. And then that showing up and being lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside myself. Okay? So, if we're going to move upon the path and take the steps that we're being invited to take, then this is part of our practice. Because every step we take in this divine, extraordinary vessel, which we call the human body, it will take you wherever you want to go. You want to go, it's going to take you. And on the journey, you're going to have to be very present. And I say have to, and maybe I should say must, because you cannot waver. You cannot waver, dears. Wavering is fine. How many embodiments have we done the wavering thing? Mm-hmm. A lot of embodiments. And we've come into this embodiment, and we've said, perhaps this time we will not waver. We will simply hold the truth of our being moment by moment by moment by moment. And we will listen impeccably to the voice within, which is our soul, the divine. We are the divine. Last week, I brought through teachings that were brought to me by the divine some time ago, and I will repeat them and add one more. The first is, God is. The second is, God is love. The third is, you are love. The fourth is, you are God. In these four is the totality of the awakened being and the realization of who you really are and living at that level of knowing. And the fifth teaching, which is just really more fun than a barrel of monkeys, it's all illusion. Back to God. It's all illusion. Back to God. So, honeys, it's all illusion. And we can be in this illusion in love and be fully conscious, fully aware, fully present, fully realized, and have a really good time. We're at choice in every moment. Do we want that or don't we want that? And if we want that, then we just take the next step. We do our practices, and we're constantly monitoring all the while. Okay? Isn't that a great sound? Dancers make great sounds. Okay. That's how we used to teach, right? I go, ha, 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 like that, okay? So, get those kids organized. So when we're working energetically to the realization of God is love, you are love, you are God, and everything is illusion, back to God. So whatever beliefs work for you, love those beliefs. Okay? They're all illusion, but love your beliefs. And if they don't suit you, they don't work for you, then let those go. And perhaps new beliefs will come in, or perhaps no beliefs will come in. That's fine. Do you understand? You create your own reality, inner and outer, and create it any way you want to. There's no one that says you have to create it a certain way. Now, maybe there are some people who do, but I don't agree with it. I believe that you come in. I believe you come in and create exactly what you said your soul agreements would be. And whatever they are, that's what you're creating from, through, and into. And if it doesn't work for you, you can change it just like that. You are the master of your fate. You are the divine made manifest in the physical. You are all that is consciousness. There is nothing in consciousness that you are not. But you have to expand your consciousness to get there, yes? There's nothing outside your consciousness, dears. Can't possibly be. It is all you. We're all it. There's nothing which is not us. We just happen to look like we're in these little old bodies, but what's really going on here is something far beyond that. And I hope that as you go from this place into and back into whatever your lives look like, that you will wear your embodiment lightly. Just kind of, you know, just very lightly wear the embodiment. It's no big deal. It feels like a big deal, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Just wear the embodiment lightly and enjoy and laugh and love. Give thanks unceasingly. Show up, be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. And every day give thanks unceasingly. The Divine said to me years ago, "You want to wake up?" I said, "Yep." The Divine said, "There's only one thing you have to do." I said, "Oh, far out, one thing. Oh, tell me what the one thing is. I'm going to tell y'all what the one thing is, okay?" And everybody in the room can wake up just like that. You're already awake, but wake up more. Here's the one thing. Give thanks unceasingly, even for that which, a moment before, you could not give thanks for it. Give thanks unceasingly, even for that which the moment before you said, "I cannot give thanks for this." And there is much on the earth plane that we have said, "Nay, not that. I will not love that. I will not embrace that. I will not have compassion. I will not give thanks. I will not." But everything that is upon the earth plane is in divine order. And if we are the divine which we are, then it is for us to be able to embrace all of it. There is nothing that we should hold outside our love, not outside our compassion, not outside our thanksgiving. Because every soul has made an agreement to be in this great drama. Every soul. They've all said, "I'll do this part this time, and I'll do this part this time." Everyone has their part to play in this great drama, which is all illusion. Some of us went to the theater this past weekend, and it was a wonderful play, and it was all illusion. So if we realize that we're going to wear the embodiment lightly and love, simply love, do you know what will happen on the earth plane if every single one of us said we will love from this moment forward? And there will not be less than love within us. We will love even that. Everything will change. Everything will change. The Divine said, "Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times." And we're more than two here, folks. So you can do it or not. And if you don't do it, that's fine. Now, why would that be? Because you just don't have a soul agreement to do it, that's all. You'll come back. You'll be all right. We'll meet again. You'll say, "Who was that lady God?" That's perfectly all right.